Welcome to the Black Woman's Renaissance, a podcast about women of color who are stepping outside the bounds of the American caste system we were relegated to. Today, in every genre, a record number of Black women are accomplishing tasks that were believed impossible for us, in spite of the walls built to keep us out. We're now marching boldly in our purpose. March on, sisters. Welcome, family, to Black Woman's Renaissance. I am your host, Dr. Violet T. Adams, educator, speaker, writer, artist, all things woman, and creator of Black Woman's Renaissance. My co-host for today is Tiffany Johnson, former Houston Comets player. Introduce yourself, Tiffany.
First of all, thanks for having me. My name is Tiffany Johnson. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. Basketball player, earned a scholarship, went to University of Tennessee, played for the great Pat Summitt, won two championships at the University of Tennessee, earned me a spot in the WNBA playing professional. I also won a championship with the Houston Comets, 8 years WNBA, and 11 years international.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, my co-host is fitted for today because today we will celebrate the accomplishments and discuss the challenges of professional tennis player Naomi Osaka. 23-year-old Naomi has been ranked number one by the Women's Tennis Association, having won 7 titles, and is the first Black and Asian player to hold the top ranking in singles. She is a 4-time Grand Slam singles champion and is the reigning champion at the U.S. Open and the Australian Open. Notably, at the 2018 U.S. Open and the 2019 Australian Open, Osaka won her first 2 Grand Slam singles titles in back-to-back Grand Slam tournaments, and is the first player to achieve this feat since Jennifer Capitale in 2001. She also became the first woman to win successful Grand Slam singles titles since Serena Williams in 2015. And this, sisters, is why we celebrate Naomi Osaka as the Black Renaissance Woman of the Week. Born in Japan to a Haitian father and a Japanese mother, Osaka has lived and trained in the United States since age 3. She has an older sister named Mari, who is a former professional tennis player herself. Her father was inspired to teach his daughters how to play tennis by watching, you know, the great Williams sisters compete in the 1999 French Open. Having little experience as a tennis player himself, he sought to emulate how Richard Williams trained his daughters, Venus and Serena, to become 2 of the best players in the world, despite having never played the sport himself. Now, keeping it real, Osaka withdrew from the French Open. This caused a big, big media stir. She withdrew after she was fined $15,000 for skipping the news conference after her first round victory, and threatened by all 4 Grand Slam tournaments with the possibility of disqualification or suspension if she continued to avoid the media. Naomi, who has a net worth of $25 million, said she experienced anxiety before speaking to the media and revealed that she suffered bouts of depression. She stated, Perhaps we should give athletes the right to take mental break from media scrutiny on a rare occasion without being subjected to strict sanctions. It's okay not to be okay. I remember posting this to her hashtag, it's okay not to be okay. She also stated that I communicated that I wanted to skip the press conference at Roland Garros French Open to exercise self-care and preservation of my mental health. She wrote, I stand by that athletes are human. Tennis is our privileged profession. And of course, there are commitments off the court that coincide. But I can't imagine another profession where consistent attendance record, and I've only missed one press conference in 7 years on tour, would be so harshly scrutinized. What do you think about her being suspended and disqualified for skipping a news conference?
I think it's crazy. I know sometimes as an athlete, you feel like, okay, yes, you know, this is our job. We're making money, but these people feel like they own us, you know, like, yeah, we can't just be like, what happened to me pulling up to the arena and, you know, I got my headphones on listening to, you know, my gospel or my motivational speaker, you know, getting into my right mindset for competition. Mm-hmm. And getting ready and entering competition. Like, what's wrong with that? You know what right. I mean? Without versus I'm trying to get ready, but I have to stop now to go to this media conference. You know what I mean? It's a lot. And then they ask you crazy questions. 90% of the time, the questions are crazy and, you know, off the wall and irrelevant. But being a Black athlete, okay. a Black woman, sometimes the questions come a little different.
Oh, give me an example.
I really can't think of anything off top, but I know that there were times that questions were asked that I know they wouldn't ask one of my counterparts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they will sometimes try to, they're divisive.
Okay.
They'll try to divide the team and make you fight against each other. Yeah, I can't remember anything in particular, but it does happen.
Yeah.
I can only imagine for like a Naomi who's at the very top. I know it's tough.
Right.
I know it's tough. And I know she did. And I know she deal with a lot of racism. She does.
Yeah.
It happens.
Well, they were questioning her allegiance to the United States because she actually represents Japan in the Olympics. But through further research, I discovered that she had to go through all kinds of hoops because she wasn't born in America. So they wouldn't even allow her to represent America in the Olympics. But she got all kinds of feedback and negative responses about, hey, you live here in America, you this, you that in America, but you want to go and represent Japan.
That's one of the things that's out of her control.
Mm-hmm.
That's out of her control. You know what I mean? And it's sad that she's got to, you know what I mean, receive the brunt of it. And like I said, it's out of her control. She didn't choose what country she wanted to be born in.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just kind of happened.
Right.
And, you know, they do have rules. They do have rules. I'm not sure about the rules, but they do have rules. You know, if you have dual citizenship.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, she stated that she had numerous suggestions to offer the tennis hierarchy, but her number one suggestion was to allow for a small number not every day, a small number of sick days per year where you are excused from press commitments or any other personal reasons without really disclosing your personal reasons. And she believed that if that was the case, that that would bring the sport in line with the rest of society. How is time off treated in the athletic world?
Today is different, you know, because of Naomi, because of Simone and people like that. Like I said, the conversation is being had, you know, versus before, probably when, let's say, a Michael Jordan and before his era was playing, it was just one of the things you didn't talk about.
Whoa.
Yeah, you just didn't talk about it. So it's gotten better, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But it's not only with sports. Like, that coincides with, like, life. Like, that's just how it is. Like, more people are talking about it now versus when we were growing up.
Okay.
You know, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about Simone Biles? For those who do not know Simone, explain who Simone is and what's going on with her now.
Simone is the gymnast. She just withdrew from Team USA for mental reasons. I don't know what was going on. I heard a few things. Mm-hmm. But she decided that she wasn't fit mentally, mm-hmm. to put down her best foot, so her team, so herself as well as her team, could succeed and win the gold medal. So, you know, she did the honorable thing and she pulled herself.
So you were saying she did the honorable thing. Quite a few people would disagree with that.
I mean, if you're selfish, then you may, but if you're, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sports, it's entertainment.
Okay.
So fans want to see what they want to see. They don't care if LeBron's neck is broke. They don't care if his leg is broke. If they paid their money, if they are tuning in, they want to see you.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just that. It comes with it. But she got to take care of herself. Mm-hmm. You know, she can't do it for them, can't do it for the fans, can't, because at the end of the day, they're not going to take care of her. You know what I mean? So she's right. Got to take care of herself. She can't worry about them. So she did the right thing. She did the right thing.
Okay. I was listening this morning to some commentators that were saying that when you're not on your game mentally, you could cause physical injury to yourself. Especially someone like Simone, who's a beast on the bars, and how slipping just a fraction of an inch could cause you to have a spinal injury or break your neck. So as an athlete, what effect does mental challenges have on your game, or is it the same for everyone?
I was just about to say, you know, athletes are human. So I don't think that only pertains to sports and athletes. Mm-hmm. That's just a life thing. Like, what does, like, if you're not in your right mental, how well do you perform your job? How does it affect your life? It's the same thing with everybody.
Right.
Just so happen to be that athletes are in a fishbowl and everybody's watching. You know what I mean? They're magnified. Right. We're magnified a little bit more, but it's the same for everybody. If you off your mental, mm-hmm. it's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even in my field as an educator, we have those mental health days, and our mental health days are sacred. I'm not going to tell you why I'm taking off. I just need to. Because if I don't take that mental health day, you don't want to see me tomorrow.
Right.
You really don't. And yeah, I have gone to work on days I know I should not have gone.
Right.
And could not make it through by the end of the day. I was biting somebody's head off. I was screaming at people, snapping at people, or withdrawing, totally withdrawing, because right. mentally I needed that time. Yes. So there have been a lot of support for, I'm sure there will be a lot of support for Simone, but definitely for Naomi. Somebody that is near, that is dear to us, that we've heard from on this mental health issue is the great Michelle Obama, our sister. She stated during the pandemic that we need to talk more about mental health because everybody deals with trauma, anxiety, and difficulties in different ways, just like you just said, Tiffany. No two people deal with it the same way. And she really was one of the first major people to come out to talk about mental health. And then, of course, there's Michael Phelps, who told Naomi that she may have saved someone's life by coming out. Now, I remember when Michael Phelps had his moment. Do you remember anybody saying anything to Michael about his mental health days or problems?
I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the world we live in. That's the world we live in.
Okay. Well, you think some of them have passes while others don't?
Oh, most definitely. That's life.
Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there's the great Steph Curry. Now, the whole topic of mental illness is serious for him. He says that mental health in the NBA has been an ongoing discussion since players have recently, like you said, it's now something that people talk about, and they've been detailing their personal struggles. He is continuing his conversation of mental health through a partnership with Kaiser Permanente. And I think that's a wonderful thing for Steph to do.
Yes.
And then, of course, we have Meghan Markle. And she revealed in her CBS interview with Oprah that she was having suicidal threats thoughts while she was pregnant. And we all know what that poor child went through, that poor, beautiful woman went through. And she said that she's also not happy with the media. And the media was the thing that really got her down. She said, it's not about the media at all. It's about respect. It's about honor and respect. Do you think that the public is as supportive of athletes, and is it fair for us to expect athletes to be superhuman and not have personal issues?
It's not fair. It's not fair for you, for athletes to be, yes, athletes may be better in sports, but that's about it. You know, I often say athletes bleed too. Oh, like, wow. Yeah, we bleed too. We breathe too. We're the same. I just happen to know how to shoot the basketball a little bit better than you.
Right, right. Do you have any personal experiences where you felt that other players, the spectators, the community was especially harsh on you or someone you know when they could have been a little more supportive?
Well, I remember I was playing in the WNBA for the Houston Comets, and we were going for a championship. Mm-hmm. And it was during the playoffs. And I wasn't playing, I guess, to my best. And I remember a reporter cornering one of my teammates. Like, this was during the time, so before each game, they get to come in the locker room for 90 minutes. So we're all sitting in there, our lockers, you know, maybe getting ready a little bit, and the reporters come in. Mm-hmm. And so they interviewed my teammate, and they were asking her questions about me. But the way they were asking the questions, it was very divisive, right? So I didn't hear the questions asked. All I remember is waking up the next morning and receiving like text messages saying, did you see what your teammate said about you? And da da da. So yeah, so I'm picking up the paper and I read it. And I was just like, wow, like, you know, I'm like, I thought that was my homegirl. Like, she doing it like that. Like, I know I'm not playing my best, but there's a way that she can word it to where she's not saying that.
Right.
And I remember getting in my feelings and, okay, I'm not talking to her. And, you know, we got this big game and I'm mad. And
oh, man,
it was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. Like, I didn't want to be bothered with her. And it was a veteran. She's a Hall of Famer. And she pulled me to the side and she just explained to me, because I was kind of new to it at the time.
Yeah.
And she explained to me how reporters could twist and ask you this and delete that and only say that and
take it out of context.
Right. She said, just go have a conversation with her. And after talking to her, like, she didn't even say anything close to what they put in the paper.
They sensationalized and took her comments, but they successfully caused a riff.
Right.
They caused drama.
Right. Right. that's the news for you, right? That's what they do.
Drama. They're not doing it if it's not drama. They don't want anything.
Right.
Like you said, entertainment. Exactly. Exactly. Now, I what about support? I know that the community wants you to be the superhuman person. And like you said, sometimes it gets in your way of performance. It gets in your head. Is there a person out there that can get you past that can be your support mechanism? And what do you say to others out there who are in the same position of hearing all this negative press about needing someone in your corner for support? Who's that who was that person for you?
Oh man, it was my mom. For me, it was my mom. You know, like most moms, you know, if you're ever feeling bad, call mom, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
And she was always there. And what I strongly encourage athletes or people in general, don't feel like you're alone. You're not the only one going through that. Like life happens. Mm-hmm. I strongly suggest to reach out to the close ones, a husband, wife, you know, somebody close, best friend, but don't hold it in and seek professional help, you know, if it reaches that point.
Right. Do you remember any particular time that she really came through for you?
It's like a million times.
Right.
I told my mom, but I can't remember any one time that was just like stands out to me, but yeah, I can't remember any one time.
Well, what's your mom's name? We need to give her a shout out.
Shout out, Rosalind Johnson.
Rosalind Johnson. Woo! Thank God for our support system. Yes. Because without it, all of that would get in your head. It will mess with you and bring you down and take you off of your game. I'm not sure of what was wrong with Simone, but I remember seeing her in her first performance and she was uncharacteristically off her game. That when she did that landing, she didn't stick it. What? Simone not stick a landing? And of course she was nervous. She said that she was shaking uncontrollably. I just hope that, and Simone has very supportive family, especially her adoptive parents. I just only hope that they, and I'm sure that they are there to support her through this traumatic experience. I haven't heard anything today, but I did hear that she opted out of the team competition because the stakes were high. They were going to win gold. There was no doubt about it. It was just a question of how far apart would they be between them and the team behind them. Many people feel that Simone cost them their gold. That is why they took second place. But Simone said she did this. She made the sacrifice to drop out because she was going to cost them much, much, much more. What do you think about that?
Unfortunately, in sports, when everything's going good, mm-hmm. you're the hero.
Ooh, yes.
But when you're losing, your team's not, then it's your fault. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, have you damned if you do, if you don't, you know what I mean? Either way it goes, like Simone, we're going to be talking about Simone one way or the other. It's her fault.
Yeah.
So, like I say, that's one of those things that it just comes with it. And the crazy part about it is nobody, maybe I think there should be a class in college. Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of class, I don't know how it would look, but to teach, nobody teaches us how to deal with it. You know what I mean? They just kind of throw us in the fire and you just deal with it. Have you deal with it?
Right.
You know?
Right.
But definitely they need to be something in college where they're getting these kids ready, and all athletes don't go pro. But either way you look at it, life is going to happen after college. So if you don't go pro, it's getting you ready for life. You know what I mean? So there definitely need to be something. There needs to be something in college to get these athletes ready.
Well, what about the whole idea of us not respecting or not understanding how important mental health specialists are? In her New York Times article, Naomi wrote, "I feel uncomfortable being the spokesperson or face of athlete mental health. Should there be a spokesperson, and is she the right one? Because research have shown that the number of people who seek mental health support increases after a celebrity discloses their own experiences with a mental health condition. Knowing that in our community, there's a problem with us seeking help, does having her or anybody come out saying, hey, seek help, it's okay not to be okay. Do you think that will have a better impact on the Black community when it comes to viewing mental health support?
Definitely, because she's looked at like a hero. She's a hero. Mm-hmm. And so, how it is, I remember when Oprah first came out, maybe still to this day, she was looked at as our hero. So whatever Oprah said, Oprah said it was, hey, mm-hmm. that's what it was.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And we all believed it.
Right.
So here's our hero that's leading us, telling us, A, B, C, D, So I think it's good for her because she's our hero. So if our hero can step up and say, hey, I have a problem, then it's like, who am I? I can do it too.
Right. I appreciate that because I think she does bring a fresh face and a different perspective of mental health to everyone. She has been highly criticized, although she was the first Black female athlete on Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue cover, which drives me crazy. She was highly shamed for it. Clay Travis, a talk radio host who replaced Rush Limbaugh, so we already know what kind of person this is, he tweeted, since saying she's too introverted to talk to the media after tennis matches, Naomi Osaka has launched a reality show, a Barbie, and now is on the cover of SI Swimsuit Issue. And of course, Megyn Kelly, a person who was fired from NBC for defending blackface, ragged her about her other covers and her Netflix series. Sound like hating to me. What you think?
A lot of hate.
And of course, Piers Morgan came in. She had to block Megyn because Megyn just kept saying, she's introverted. Why is she doing all of this? She never said she was introverted. She said that press need to approach dealing with athletes a different and better way. That's all she said. So the haters, how do you deal with haters? Or how have you dealt with
it? Well, in that, mm-hmm. who's not approving? Like, who are the people that's got a problem with her stepping down? Like, who's not approving? Right. So if I'm her, I would look around and say, hey, my family is with me because right. all of us are on her side for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, my family are with me. My loved ones are with me. Like, who cares what you think? You know what I mean? Like, I got my folks are with me. So, you know, y'all always have something to say.
Always.
Always have something to say.
I tell you who doesn't have a problem with her dropping out of those matches, the other tennis players.
Right.
Now they could possibly win.
They can get a win.
They could get a win. So this has been a wonderful show to talk about mental health and, of course, our beautiful Black queens who have stood up for mental health and telling us the importance of it. So I have two takeaways from this conversation. This goes for everyone. It doesn't matter that you are an athlete, just like my sister Tiffany have said here several times. We all are affected by mental health and it affects our output, period. So first, put yourself first. Letting yourself go, sisters, letting yourself go mentally fulfills the goals of those who try to block you from succeeding. Please seek professional help. Connect to loving family and friends. Stay connected to who you are and what your purpose is. There's no shame in being human. Secondly, expect the haters. Our story is not told because they don't want our greatness to encourage little Black girls, right? We know that to be the case. Their goal is to ensure that we remain in our relegated space at the bottom. But guess what? They can't stop us. So they'll talk about us. They'll degrade us and do their best to strip us of our pride. This is the formula they've used for 400 years. But if they successfully attract us or attack us mentally, then they will have a fighting chance at winning. Otherwise, they can't beat us. Right, Tiffany?
Absolutely.
So take care of yourself mentally. Do you have any final words on mental health or Naomi and Simone?
Let's keep the conversation going. Let's keep the conversation relevant.
Okay. Please do. I have my therapist on speed dial. I guarantee you. I want to thank my co-host, Miss Lady of Renaissance herself, Tiffany Johnson, for this lively celebration and conversation about our Black Renaissance woman, Naomi Osaka. Thank you. Thank you, sister, for coming on and spending this time with me to discuss this very important issue of mental health.
Thanks for having me.
It is now your turn to celebrate our sisters. We're still a young show and we need you to be successful. We're asking you to do the following. Tune into this and every episode. And if you've missed any episodes, go back and listen to those. Pass this podcast on to everyone you know. And finally, donate to and sponsor BWR to support our research and to keep us talking about our accomplishments. If we don't tell our truth, who will? It's our renaissance. We're now marching boldly in our purpose. March on, sisters.